Don't try to be nice to me, Kyle. Don't try to be all friendly. Did you have fun with Damien and Jason while Who? I was gone?
Oh, those two other guys? I don't even remember their names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that their names, Damien and Jason?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even... David and...
I know how it goes. Oh, guys, I had such a great time with you. It was fun doing professional radio for 2 days.
I sent Damien and Jason a video of me just sadly on my couch last night with Angel by Sarah McLachlan playing in the background.
Just staring at the wall. Just staring at the wall, sad. And don't act like you're happy. Oh, we got to talk about sports and, you know, not anybody droning or lisping.
Are you just reading the text?
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. And don't you try to kiss up either, listener. Singular.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, that's right. You think I wasn't watching the text line while I was gone? Walking the streets of New York and New Orleans. My wife's like, what are you doing? Nothing. Just reading the text line. Hey, I like you guys in the morning. You sound great. Hey, can you take over full time? That's not narcissistic of me at all.
We did get this, though, from Jason Ross.
Well, yeah. I heard one thing I did hear, Jason wasn't too fond of working at dark, but this dark.
Does not like being up before the sun's up.
Jason has plenty of experience doing radio at night, just not this night, this type of night. It's a tough alarm to wake up to, and I do seriously want to thank Jason and Damien, and yes, you, Kyle, for, it's 2017, for personing the fort while I was gone. Thank you.
He, him, or my pronouns, so you can say Manning.
Right. I'm not assuming anyone's gender. It's just, you know, it's good to be here. You'll get another shot. I'm here until second week of February. And then that's when I used to do 2 weeks in a row. That's why I'm going to get so much crap. I used to do Christmas week and New Year's week, back to back. Those are my 2 weeks in wintertime. See you later. And you know what? Screw you guys. That's the vacation I get. What do you want from me? You want me to not take it? So that's when I take it. This year, I'm working those weeks. Now, I'm not working Christmas. Now, I mean, we're taking the station holidays off. But those weeks, I think everybody else is going to be gone. I'll be here. Kyle, are you going to be here? I kind of hope you're not, but...
I can't afford to take days off, so...
Dude, after this trip, neither can I. I'm serious. Oh... And after my latest Bitcoin adventures, I can't. I got to work harder. Right before I left, because you guys heard me talking about Bitcoin. Right before I left, all my Bitcoins were kind of high. I'm like, you know what? We're going on vacation. I'm taking my profit.
Did you go to the ATM and pull out some bits?
I got my app on my phone, so I sold most everything. I sold like 90% of my stuff. Right, took a decent profit. I mean, I won't get into how much, but it was a good profit.
$12, $13.
So here's the thing. So that was the morning I left. So I'm in the airport and I'm looking, okay, well, you know what? Stuff right when I sold it dropped. It dropped. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna rebuy. Yeah. I'm gonna rebuy. Sold it like literally, Kyle, I'm not joking, 2 minutes before stuff started dropping. I'm like, dude, I have the golden touch. This is amazing. I'm going to rebuy like a big stock trader. I'm going to make a little profit. There you go. Well, little did I know that the app I trade with had a new verification process they had just instituted, and you now had to send a picture of your identification, and it took a week to 10 days to verify that. So I just got it re-verified today. The day I sold, the coin that I sold the most of has gone up in the last week since I sold my stuff 143%.
Yikes.
How about that?
That's what you get, man.
You don't get that with Damien and Jason. They're not going to talk to you about Bitcoin.
Did you see the tweet that was Norm Cash's baseball card? And someone captioned it, "When you're just not into Bitcoin."
Yes, you're into Norm Cash. I absolutely did see that. Hey, by the way, let's do this on the air. Again, that's what I do. Are we having Wi-Fi issues, or would you even know? We are. Okay, good. Yeah. So that's not just my computer got New Yorkitis.
The only way I know that is because I was trying to reload Snapchat, and it wouldn't snap.
Snapchat, which I don't understand.
My best friend Randy and I, he lives down in Arizona, and I miss him dearly every day.
I see
day.
You tweet about him every once in a while.
I love Randy. We have a Snapchat streak going, so I have to keep that. I have to keep that up.
From the 916, and you can text me at 44 1140. Although I don't even want your dumb texts, you disloyal texty fools, you guys, your anger and your enjoyment of the other. It's always weird when you go on. It doesn't matter how secure you are. I've been doing this. I've been back now since 2012. I've worked here since 2001. I'm still so insecure. Like Wally Pipp, Lou Gehrig, you take time off. Someone will like it. The other guy's better. I don't care. I'm secure enough to say I'm insecure. So you know, you read all the texts and somebody tapping into that right now. Welcome back, Dave. Can we spend the first segment reading the best text you read from the text line while on vacation? Which. Part of me wanted to actually record, like, write down the numbers of the meanest people. And then when they tried to be nice on the text line and ask me questions, I'd just be like, no, I'm not answering your questions.
Oh, yeah. Is that right, 916?
Yeah.
Is this the same 916?
Exactly. Which crush Damien and Jason at?
Hey, you know what we need to do? Sidebar regarding this.
Yes.
Is when someone sends a mean text, you need to either write it down or take a picture of it or whatever. And then you need to get Melissa to read said text, and then we need to have Saunders for him.
The problem is that Melissa, with any mean text sent towards me, Melissa would actually be like, oh, that's actually true. Like, so? Melissa would never, would never have my back on it. Oh, no.
She didn't need to have your back. She just needs
just
to read
them. 925 Hillbilly, good to see you. Thank you. Yes. And yes, we'll talk to, Kings today, George Hill, and, you know, all that crap. Let me see. What do I want to share with you guys about... thanks again to WFAN for hosting us last week. We hope to have, obviously I was out there for the MLS meetings. We do hope to have MLS updates sometime. Listen, I can't give you a date. Sometime in the next week or two, I expect it will be earlier rather than later. But I've been extremely wrong before and could be extremely wrong about all this stuff. So we'll wait and see about that. When I landed in New Orleans, it was 12 degrees colder in New Orleans than it was in Manhattan. Something is global warming, global. By the way, Kyle, global warming's a myth because it snowed in New Orleans. Snowed in New Orleans, so there you go. Global warming's a myth. It snowed in New Orleans. This is what I wanted to ask you about with 3 minutes left in the segment, Kyle. We did something. I'm being serious now. We did something on this trip. We rented a car because it was like $11 a day. It was a $50 Uber ride from the airport. So we figured, hey, we rented a little car, and we were determined to go do something with it. So the second day we were in New Orleans, we drove about 70 miles southwest to a little town called Vacherie, Louisiana. And it was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. It was a house that was used in many movies, including Primary Colors and a few others. Many of you would recognize a painting of this house. There are a bunch of oak trees with the oak tree arms going over, stretching over in almost like a arch. And then a walkway to this beautiful house with white pillars and all that. Gardens everywhere. And because of the weather, it wasn't very packed at all. And we went on the tour. It's one of those like old Southern super historical homes and properties. But it was a plantation. It's called Oak Alley Plantation. You can look it up. So Kyle, I felt, and my wife and I were talking about this all the time. I felt very conflicted. Being serious, felt very conflicted. And you guys know me. I'm not the most politically correct guy, and I don't, you know. Try to play that off, but we're walking through these beautiful gardens and this home And there are much of the tour was the history of slavery at on this property. And they still had all the quarters, the slave quarters that were preserved, that you could literally look in and see where families of 4, 8, 12, 16 would live. They had framed prices based on the physical specimens and whether it was a female or a male, whether they were healthy or unhealthy, a family, this, that, whatever. And then they would have a key to convert dollars back in the 1800s into today's dollars, just to give you an idea as far as how much a person would cost. So we were so conflicted by the beauty and history, which you can't deny the history. You have to acknowledge that that is part of our history, and seeing it up close, and many of the descendants, as I found out, excuse me, of people that work. And when I say people that worked there, let me just say people that worked there involuntarily, for lack of a better term, were now running and working and giving tours and being a part of this. So we felt very conflicted in the sense of appreciating the history, appreciating the beauty, understanding this is a tourist spot. But also part of me just wanted to burn the whole thing to the ground. I mean, honestly, part of me just wanted to raise the whole thing. I don't want to, this is crazy. So the way we kind of came through it is I'm glad they have places like that. I'm glad they give tours. I'm glad they open it up. I'm glad they preserve it. I really am. I'm glad they do, because people like us who read about stuff in history books and have seen and heard and whatever can actually go there and physically witness and see what it was like. By the way, less than 200 years ago, to go there and physically see the quarters, how people lived, and how things were. I think that's a powerful thing that you can't get out of a documentary or a movie or a history. It's something when you can see, hear, and smell and actually feel like you're there, you are there. I think that's something I would suggest everybody do. I don't want to get too crazy serious to start out. But that, honestly, of all the stuff we did over the weekend, that's probably a thing that stuck out with me the most. Here's what we're going to do today. Sam Amick's going to join us at 7:35. We'll go around the NBA for his regular Tuesday spot. Katie Christensen's coming in at 8:05. Again, her regular Tuesday spot. She'll be in here for the whole hour. And Eric Armstead, local kid of your San Francisco 49ers. He's got some stuff going on he wants to talk about. And we're going to talk about his Niners on a winning streak, if you will, and they will be a big part of today's show. He's going to come on at 8:35. George Hill, is he disgruntled? The Salt Lake City Tribune saying that he is. King Suns tonight. We got a packed show. Welcome back to me. Welcome back to you guys. I missed each and every one of you. 339-1140, 44-1140. Morning Brew next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. What was that last night? My goodness. Hey, by the way, thanks to Delta for having satellite television that didn't work. So paid $6 an hour for internet so I could refresh ESPN and just watch the game via numbers on a box score.
It's about all you needed.
It really is. 27-20. Hey, you know they say this, Kyle, that divisional games late in the year are oftentimes a pick 'em. You can throw the records out. And you see this a lot. Usually it's the Dolphins and the Jets. It's one of my favorite ones. Steelers, Bengals, Steelers, Ravens. That's another one where it doesn't matter what their records are 90% of the time. Throw them out. It's going to be an interesting situation. Well, Miami was, I'll tell you what I saw, what I read, was Miami was mixing up their defense fantastically. And they kept Tom Brady on his back foot all night long. He threw two picks. He missed about as many, almost as many passes as he completed. And the Dolphins, it wasn't fluky. It was a bad day, but the Dolphins took down the Patriots. And this kid, Kenyon Drake, who sounds like a character out of those Uncharted video games, this kid knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, he can play. Also, hot take alert here.
Uh-oh. Okay.
The Patriots offense, not as good without Rob Gronkowski.
Hey.
I'm just going to say it.
Okay, here's one for you. How about Jarvis Landry, second in the NFL in receptions? Second on his team in yards.
24th in the league in yards, second in receptions. He's on pace to be the first player ever. It's from Chris Towers of CBS Sports. He's on pace to be the first player ever with over 100 catches and less than 1,000 yards.
I don't understand that. That's called a Jay Cutler checkdown special right there. All right, number two. The 9-19 Phoenix Suns come in to take on the 8-18 Sacramento Kings. No Devin Booker in this game. Kings favored by 4.5 tonight. So we're losing, right?
When was the last time the Kings and 49ers were favored in the same week?
Yeah. This is one of those games, man. This is one of those games where there is no reason for the Kings to lose tonight. None.
And I think, okay, if the Kings come out and win tonight, I think that we're going to see from Kings fans, oh, it was only the Suns. But to get to the next level, you have to win games like this.
Sure.
And so I think if the Kings can come out tonight and play well, beat the Suns, I think that's a huge step for them as a team.
When you're the Sacramento Kings, there's no, you know, you don't look ahead because there's no, they're not fighting for playoff spots.
Sure.
So, but can we just acknowledge here that they play the Suns tonight at home in a game that they have no business losing. And then they go to Minnesota, Toronto, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, who, it ain't your daddy's Brooklyn, by the way. Brooklyn's playing a lot better before they come home and take on San Antonio. Then they go to play the Clippers. We're playing a little bit better. Then they host Cleveland before getting Phoenix again.
Oh, no.
Like, on paper, this is the last game the Kings are going to be favored in until Friday, December 29th. This is the last game they're going to be favored in until Friday, December 29th. You better go out. You better win the damn game. And we'll talk a little bit more at 7 o'clock on George Hill. And whether he is gruntled or disgruntled. No Seahawks players. Who cares about that game? A great game. A first-place team and a team fighting for first place. The upstart Jags, the Seattle Seahawks. Jags win. It was a fun game. It was a good game between two hard-nosed defenses. And at the end, it just, you've heard the story time and time again. It just devolved. You had Michael Bennett diving at players' knees. You had Quentin Jefferson trying to go into the stands. You had Jaguars fans throwing things. There's no suspensions, though. No suspension. Which, you know what, is fine, Kyle, because what that tells me is there's consistency in the NFL's punishments. There's just great consistency.
No ambiguity.
Nah.
It's just very by the book, and I like that.
Nah. Victory formation. Dive at a guy's knees and then dive again and then tackle him. That's okay. That's fine. You know why? Because Brandon Linder didn't get injured. That's
exactly.
Why.
Exactly.
That's why. Well, what if he tears his ACLs and that's it? Well, okay, then
we're
we'll suspend
him. Multiple games, yep.
Just,
yep.
At some point, we're going to stop being so breathless.
Or if he had smacked him once in the head.
Yeah, that's it. That's fine. Which, by the way, every player says they'd rather you go for the head than the knees. One of these days we're going to stop being so pearl clutchy over the NFL's action or inaction. Can we just at some point say it's just part of the game, get used to it? It's not getting better. It's just stupid. There's no rhyme. There's no reason whatsoever. Talk about that at 7:17 in four down territory. When we get back, holy upset Batman as Miami takes out New England. What does it mean? Probably nothing, but this was a wild week 14. We'll take one last look back on that. That's in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK. Thank God Kyle was looking away there. Pat Still from Pat and Tom was talking to me during the break.
Love Pat.
You missed. I just almost had my second headphone slap in 2 weeks. The chair caught my cord, and I almost just took my eye out with my own headphone. Before we get to sports, because Kyle, one of the main things I love about Kyle, Kyle, this is where I'm about to crap on him. Kyle is stupid, but he's stupid like I'm stupid. Stupid in the sense that he likes the dumbest things, and they make him laugh. And what's great is that I like dumb things that make me laugh, too. So during the break, Kyle breathlessly gets on the internal mic to me. He goes, dude, you got to get on Google Translate. Okay.
With 40 seconds left in the break.
Kyle's about to do his update. When you heard him do his update, you're like, hey, get it. We had just had this excited conversation. He goes, okay,
stop.
What?
Don't make me sound like a bad person.
No, what? How? How does that make you sound bad?
Because of the content here.
No, this is funny.
it's how language gets translated.
If there's somebody out there that speaks German, we need your help because I don't know if this is a computer issue or not. He says, make the left side of your Google Translate
also,
English.
I saw this on Twitter.
Sure,
this isn't me looking this up.
Because if that was the case, that's you got a lot of time on your hands.
Right.
Left side English, right side German. You put for the English side, and you guys can all do this with me. Go to Google Translate. You put it on the English side, birth. The translation is Geburt, right? I'm probably screwing up the pronunciation, but birth, Geburt, whatever. Put in control, birth control. Birth control in English is Geburt control, all right? That makes sense. That sounds similar. All have roots in Latin, I'm sure. But if you put in birth control pills, three words, birth control pills, it goes from Geburt control to anti-baby pillin.
Apparently, it's a real thing.
It's not a bit. Apparently, birth control pills translated to German, according to Google Translate, is anti-baby pillin. That can't. I mean, it all kind of makes, like, look, anti-baby, no baby. All right, pillin, pill.
It's like they were coming up with this new phrase, and they're like, we're out of words. Right. Just, how do they say it in English? Yeah, just that.
How do you go from Geburt control? What do you mean Geburt control pillin? You go from birth Geburt control to anti-baby pillin. Next time my wife needs me to pick up her prescription. That's what I'm saying. You mean get your anti-baby pillins? Oh, the things you find, Kyle. What a week 14. My goodness. Week 14 was amazing. And by amazing, I don't mean that necessarily to be good. I just mean it was a big week in the NFL. Locally, there's a guy who's killing me at the start of the year saying the 49ers are better than the Raiders. I'm like, dude, you're smoking drugs. The 49ers are not better than the Raiders. I still stand by that. And I'm not even trying to come up with the 49ers are better than the Raiders take right now. Not I'm not there. But the question we're going to explore, I think, today and tomorrow, mainly tomorrow, Kyle, is do you feel better being a 49er fan right now or a Raider fan right now?
I think unless you're a fan of a team that is a serious Super Bowl contender, it's hard to find a fan base that's more excited about their game on Sunday than 49ers fans.
49ers win 26-16. 49ers have won two in a row. 49ers are undefeated in the Jimmy Garoppolo starting era.
The thing, and I'm sure I can't see the text line, so I'm sure it's going to be Raider fans.
Of course.
Breathing down my neck about the three wins and this and that. I get it. The 49ers stink. They're going to have a top 5 to 10 draft pick. They
sure.
stink. Don't get me wrong. But they have a real-life quarterback, and all of a sudden, that changes everything. Jimmy Garoppolo can hoop, man. He can play, and that changes so much about how the 49ers approach this draft. It changes how they approach free agency. And now, a turnaround where the 49ers are a playoff team next year is well within the realm of possibility. When you consider all the worst of first teams we've seen this year.
Sure.
And for me as a 49er fan, that's exciting.
I want to be very careful with Raider fan here, who I'm sure is hurting very badly. And we're the home of the Raiders, and we've been rooting for the Raiders all year long. All seriousness, I don't take any joy or happiness out of seeing
they should
what
be really good.
They should be better. And I'm sure Todd Downing is going to be gone at the end of the year. Who knows if Jack Del Rio will stick around. Be interested to talk to Sean Salisbury about that, who was his old college roommate. We'll talk to him about that on Friday. He's got very strong feelings about Jack Del Rio, but has also been very honest about him throughout the year. This is not a stomp on Raider fan situation. It sucks. It sucks for Raider fan right now. And I have a lot of friends that are Raider fans who are asking a lot of the similar questions. Is Todd Downing most to blame? Is Jack Del Rio most to blame? Is Reggie McKenzie most to blame because they thought they could get by with that offense and let that secondary just be shredded game in and game out? But the question I'm hearing a lot, Kyle, that really, really surprises me is Derek Carr the same guy? Is Derek Carr the same guy he was before the injury? Is he tentative? Does he lack that confidence? I mean, that's the question. There's a lot of questions there.
He's averaging the same amount of yards per attempt that he has the last 2 years.
Okay.
I think it's his back. I think we're seeing less of the downfield stuff
sure.
because I'm not sure he's capable of that physically right now.
When you go back to Marshawn Lynch dancing during that Jets game,
mm-hmm.
which I would say other than the victory against the Chiefs, in which it took him like 5 tries at the end of the game to get that. You know, those are two, I would say, the two big highlights of the year for the Raiders. But now you look at the Niners, and I'm on the other end, Kyle. I'm so pessimistic. Like, okay, great. Jimmy Garoppolo had 2 good games against 2 bad teams. No offensive line. Receivers questionable. I get it. I'm not ready to go Montana young Garoppolo, but he sure does look good, and he has won 2 games in a row.
When was the last time there was any reason to be optimistic about the 49ers?
Well,
middle of 2014?
In addition to the Garoppolo thing, as you kind of alluded to, their draft, the money they have available, the fact that John Lynch can go through and continue to make sweeping changes and additions. It's a very exciting time. So I think the question we're circling around here is who, if you had to bet your life savings as to who's going to make the playoffs first, Is it now a legitimate question between the Raiders and the Niners? Is that a legit question? And if the Raiders are the favorites, which I still think they are, in that equation, are they big favorites? Because I don't think that's...
I would make the Raiders slim favorites.
I would say...
Because they're more complete right now.
If we were Vegas, I would say Raiders minus 225 is about what I do. Favorites over the Niners. That's probably the odds I would lay down as far as who's going to make the playoffs first.
Okay.
Raiders minus 225. But it is an interesting time. And at some point, we'll talk about this in four down territory. You know, the Niners do have kind of a rough ending to their schedule. Rougher. You know, are we good now? Can we pull Jimmy? Can Jimmy get like an undisclosed ankle issue? And can we just pull him for the rest? Kind of like we know what we've seen now.
They'll probably beat the Titans, but they're not beating the Jaguars.
They'll probably beat the Titans.
Yeah, the Titans stink, dude.
Says Colin, TitansWire.com.
Yeah, find out why they stink at TitansWire.com.
Wow.
They're favored by 2.5 points. The 49ers are.
Against the 8-5 Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, who just put up 7 points against the Arizona Cardinals. But I think they beat the Titans. They're not beating the Jaguars, and I think the Rams are going to have something to play for, so I don't think they're beating the Rams.
We got a break. When we come back, a little bit more football. We'll get to Kings and Suns and also George Hill and all this hullabaloo going on at 7 a.m. Are Bills fans the best and or perhaps dumbest fans in all of sports? I want to talk about that over the weekend. It's the Drive Sports, 1140 KHDK. Everyone's seen the pictures and highlights, if you will, of the Colts-Bills game over the weekend. I was watching it from snowy New Orleans, by the way. First time in 14 years or something they got snow there, and we were there. That was neat. I was watching the game, and people have mixed feelings about this. There are some who... Excuse me, I was fighting that. Didn't turn my mic off, so everyone say bless you. Thank you.
Bless you, Dave.
Appreciate it. There are some that think that is football weather. That's football weather. That's throwback. That's football weather. Snow and snow angels. Seeing the breath come out of the offensive and defensive line. They look like a bunch of dragons. Gladiators. It's awesome. And there's some that are like, not really. It's snow and it's dumb. It takes away a huge part of the game. Not exactly the easiest thing in the world to the teams combined for eight. They were 18 of 38 passing. 18 of 38 passing for about 150 yards. That was the combined passing from both teams. And it was, you know, LeSean McCoy at 150 yards, Frank Gore at 130 yards, not a Hall of Famer. I was just saying that for you, Kyle. I know that's your thing lately.
Frank Gore is the oldest player in NFL history to rush 36 times in a game.
Not a Hall of Famer. And I don't know which side I come down. I see that there are definitely pluses to both sides. Do you enjoy seeing that type of football? There are pictures out there of guys being tackled and you could barely see their helmets over the pile of snow. Or is it just stupid and the Bills should be playing in a dome?
How peak Bills is it, by the way, that in the middle of a blizzard, they are wearing bright red? In the middle of the blizzard in their home field, they're wearing bright red.
Sure.
And the opponent's wearing white.
Of course.
That's just classic.
It's perfect.
Bills.
It's perfect. Thank God. And of course, by the way, of course, the game went to overtime.
Has to.
Of course it did.
My dad and I were talking when that game first started, because we have the not red zone, but the NFL Sunday ticket mix, because I go home to the Bay Area and watch football at my folks' house on Sundays. And it's so funny because there's all these football games and there's just this white screen.
Yes.
And my dad goes, this is going 0-0 to overtime, right? So we figured it was getting there anyways because nobody was going to be able to score.
13-7 is your final on a Shady McCoy walk-off. I was fascinated by watching the fans, Kyle. I was fascinated by watching the fans at this game. Dressed all like Ralphie's little brother. In a Christmas story, looking like a tick that was about to pop, and trying to, this was the question I came up with: are they the most diehard fans, like imaginable, or are they the dumbest fans imaginable?
I think you have to be dumb to be a diehard fan.
Now, I was going to defend whichever side you came down, so I'm going to devil's advocate the other side now, because I can defend both. Okay, hold on a second now. You're in Buffalo. What do you have Wings, the Sabres, and the Bills. That's what you have. You probably, listen. That's
the home of Greg Papa you're talking about.
Listen, no offense. Okay, actually offense. I'm sorry. Offense. You're a working man or working woman. And you don't have a ton of disposable income, and the income you do have to dispose of, you decided to dispose on the Bills. You're not selling those tickets on StubHub, buddy. You paid for the tickets. What are you going to do, waste them? No, you paid good money. You're going to go. You're going to take the kids.
There is a radio station, the radio station in Buffalo right now, saying the same thing about the Kings.
About what? Like, why are Kings fans going to these games?
Are Kings fans diehard or stupid?
But here's the thing. Here's why.
You love your team. It doesn't matter.
But here's the difference. I'm not saying, hey, the Bills suck. Why support them? I'm saying the Bills aren't that. By the way, the Bills are above 500. So they're
better
than the
Bills are in the playoffs if the season ends today.
I'm talking about the physical act of sitting outside for 4 hours in a blizzard.
No, that's awesome.
I'm watching fans with like piles of snow on their hoods.
That's awesome.
Why is that? Somebody,
they are literally trying to die hard.
Somebody tell me how that's better than watching it in your warm house.
Because you get to say, dude, I was there. Like,
I was there.
We went.
I was there, bro.
You ever been to a game of Candlestick where
yes.
it's just total Candlestick weather?
Yes.
There's a pride you take in that.
Yeah,
of
I
going
guess.
And being like, yeah, I was all bundled up in my rain jacket.
Yeah.
And I didn't even wear nice shoes because it was wet and gross. But we sat there, we weathered the elements, and we watched our team win.
Should you have pride? Is that a pride thing or is that
yeah,
a, I'm justifying
it's sports.
Being
it's silly.
Dumb?
It's silly. It's all irrational. It's all dumb.
I get it.
It's just sports fandom is irrational to begin with. Sports don't matter in the grand scheme of the world. Yet we get paid to talk about them and people get paid to play them and people spend money to go watch them. The peak of that irrationality is sitting there watching it in a blizzard. You made it. You're it. That's it.
Are Bills fans the most diehard fans in American sports?
That we got to run. That's a deep question.
No, I want an answer in 10 seconds.
Yeah, Dave, let me tell you why.
Well, okay, so during the break, I want you all to think about this.
Please.
Combine weather, comfort or discomfort of attending games.
Are we counting Northern California teams?
No, we are not. We are specifically throwing out Northern California teams because I don't want homerism in there. Combine success of team. Like, for you to come out and say you're a Bills fan. Now, somebody might say, well, hold on, I'm a Lions fan. Okay, well, you're a Lions fan, you play in a dome. Okay, keep going. You go through all of sports taking NorCal out of the equation, and you tell me who the most diehard are. We'll take a break. We'll ask that question throughout the day. When we get back, let's go to the Kings. Kings Suns tonight, speaking of diehard fans, and a Salt Lake City Tribune article that is all about sources say. Sources say things. They involve George Hill. We'll do that next. Back in four, Sports 1140 KHDK.